Father Crosso, it's good to be with you this morning. Merry Christmas to all of you. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the work of Gary Chapman. He is an author and a pastor, and he came up with a concept called the five love languages. Has anyone heard of the five love languages? It's fairly well known. It's spread really far and wide in terms of a concept. And the concept is this, that we as human beings give love and receive love in a preferred manner. And there are five manners in which one of which we would prefer. Some people prefer words of affirmation. Other people, acts of service. Other people love it when they have physical affection, like holding hands or hugging. Other people love it when you give of their time. And then there's the giving of gifts, the giving of gifts. So like I said, most of us have one preference. For Alana and I, my wife and I, she is convinced that I have none, and I'm convinced that she has all of them. So I think we're a good match. We're still working on it. But jokes aside, we all need to receive love. We love to receive the gift of love from others. When I was growing up, I can remember being really loved by my parents. They would love me in various ways, but one of the ways they would love me is by giving me gifts, and gifts at Christmas time. And I can remember once getting from my father a military outfit. It was full camo, probably the best gift I've ever had. In fact, it was such a good gift because it was useful for going to church, useful for going to the shops, useful for sleeping in, useful for playing in. Unfortunately, it only lasted about 3 or 4 years until the sleeves were around about my elbows and it was threadbare. But it was a great gift. I can remember that. I can also remember a time when my mom got really jealous about my dad's gifts because I'd be most excited about my dad's gifts. It's kind of because he knew what a boy like me growing up really wanted. Like he knew what would excite me. Still don't know why my mom didn't work out the formula. It was like either military stuff or fishing stuff. She didn't get it, but my dad knew that that's what I wanted. But it's more about, not so much about what I wanted, actually. It's what I needed from my dad. I needed to know from my dad that he approved me. He thought that I was a growing up man, a man of stature, a man of courage and ability. And so his gifts kind of spoke to my heart in that way, that my dad felt that way about me. And maybe as a sideline message to all of you today as parents or to be parents, do your kids know that from you? Do they know that they are worthy in your eyes? John Eldridge, he gives a bit more detail and he says, all boys need to know they've got what it takes and all girls need to know that they're captivating. And they're beautiful inside and outside. Both of those capture a part of the God heart, really. The wildness of God, the courage of God, and the beauty of God. So this Christmas, won't you, especially dads, but parents, grandparents, make sure that the kids know how you feel about them in those ways. I love the way the Bible describes the loving heart of Father God. The beautiful, loving, and lavish gift-giving of your Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he's teaching them about asking God for things. And he says, though you who are evil, he uses the word evil, means impure, or unlike God, imperfect, though you who are imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father give to you who ask him? Isn't that amazing? In James chapter 1, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good thing in your life, if you can think of a few good things in your life right now, every good one is from the Father in heaven. He is a good Father. He gives the best gifts. But probably the greatest and most pertinent of all the gift-giving verses in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. There could be no more precious and valuable gift given to humankind than a son. I don't think you or I would ever give our son away to someone else. Would you? No. But God gave His Son. Such was His love for you and me. Christina Rossetti, in 1885, wrote a poem. It was called Love Come Down at Christmas. And then it became a hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. And it goes like this. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith the sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. Love truly did come down at Christmas, the gift of God's love to us. And so what do we receive from this gift? When we unwrap the gift of Jesus, what is it that we receive? Well, there are just two points, and these will be the main points of my sermon today. And the first is this, that when we unwrap the gift of Jesus, we get the gift of God with us. And the second thing is we get the gift of hope. God with us. In our first reading, and particularly our second reading, the angel comes to Joseph and says to Joseph, you'll have a son and you're to call him Jesus. And then he quotes from Isaiah to say, and this son will be Emmanuel, which means in verse 24, God with us. God with us. So, on this point, just two parts. What does it mean that God is with us? Well, the first part is Jesus as God. And the second part is God with us. And so I just want to examine those two parts. Jesus as God. Jesus as God is a huge stumbling block in the world today. For pantheistic faiths who believe that we are all fully God, so you are fully God, I'm fully God, the tree is fully God because it's a living thing, the mice are fully God, everything is fully God, they cannot accept that only Jesus would be fully God. For polytheists who believe in very many different gods, each of those gods has a different character and different characteristic and different powers and different ways that they interact with humankind. They cannot accept that Jesus would come and be the full version of God. That one person could be all God. And for monotheistic faiths with a belief in one God, they cannot believe that God would be so humble to come down from heaven and leave His heavenly glory, leave His throne where He is praised by a multitude and come down to be a baby, to be with unclean, not unclean, but sorry, imperfect people like you and me. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. But here's the main problem encapsulated in all this. The main stumbling block is this. It's not the semantics about what is God and what is not God. It's whether God is loving. For us, God is loving because He gave Himself up, His sacrifice so profound that He would come from heaven to be with us, so that you and I, who were once distanced from Him, we weren't close to Him, and now we can be close to Him. That is love. Giving up His sacrificial, in a sacrificial way, His place in heaven to be with us. So what does it mean that God is with us? Well, there are three things to mention here. The first thing is that Jesus, in coming at Christmas, made a way to the Father. He says, He describes Himself as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. When He died, the curtain in the Holy of Holies place, if you know the temple, there was a curtain between the Holy and Holies where a priest could go once a year, consecrated, to intercede for the people, right? The people weren't allowed there because that's where God was. There was a separation between humankind and God. And Jesus comes, and when He dies, the curtain is split, and now you and me have access. So it was people, priest, curtain, God. And now it is people, God. This is not the Holy of Holies at the back here, by the way, just making that clear. We don't have that here. You and I have access. We can be with God through Jesus' sacrifice. Secondly, he showed the way to the Father. And not just the way to the Father, he showed us the Father. I love this part where he's talking about being the way to the Father. And Philip, he pops up and says, Lord, show us the Father. If you're the way to the Father, then show us the Father. And it's enough for us. This is from John 14. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is the full expression of the Father. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. If you want to see God, you go to Jesus. The gift of Jesus as Christmas is that we can now know the Father. We not only know the way to the Father, but we can actually know him. And my last point in this is that he will be with us always. His last words on earth, post his resurrection, prior to his ascension, Matthew 28:20, he says, and behold, I will be with you. I will be with you.
Until the end of days.
Yes, till the end of the days. Or otherwise, always. Till the end of days, or always. Sorry, put you on the spot in the front. Never sit in the front, people. Okay, just saying. Avoid eye contact with the teacher all the time. Okay. Avoid eye contact, don't sit in the front. Two rules. Lo, we will be, I will be with you always. So once you're with the Father and you're with, like truly with him, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Isn't that, what a gift is that? What an amazing gift. The best way, the best analogy I can give you to make this more clear is the analogy of the ocean. I personally love the ocean. That's my happy space. For some people, they know the ocean through seeing it on TV or hearing about it from other people. And so their knowledge of the ocean is either very intellectual or it's just imaginary. They can imagine what the ocean is like. For others, they've been to the ocean, but they've never been in it. So they've been on the beach maybe, and they've watched the sea and the waves, and it's awe-inspiring in its own way. Maybe a bit fearful to see it in its magnitude, but that's their experience of it. And then there are other people who love to be in the ocean. Like, I can't stand anymore, right? Okay, I wouldn't advise that if you can't swim, but... but there are those people who love this, love being in it. And then you get another sense of the sea when you're in the sea like that. You get a sense of awe for the sea. It is just hugely powerful. It's majestic to be in. And there's a sense of freedom there. You're no longer in control. You respect it and you enjoy it all at once. And it's the same in some ways with God. Some of us only know God through what other people have told us about him. It's heady knowledge. Others of us have experienced God, but he's still distant and maybe a bit fearful of what this would mean to be close to God. And then there are those of us who've been head deep in with God. And the joy and the awe and the majesty of getting to know, the majestic aspects of getting to know God, is a beautiful thing, far greater than what you could get by being in the ocean. Far greater is God and his desire to be with you. God wants to be with you this Christmas. He came down from heaven so that you could have that experience. Not so that you could read in Isaiah chapter 9, not so that you could just be here on this day and leave and then just carry on with life, but that you could be with him and that he will be with you closely and always. My second point and last point is this. Through Jesus, we get the gift of hope. In our first reading from Isaiah chapter 9, and then later this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 about this coming king comes to fulfillment in our third reading, which is the reading where the angel speaks to Mary and says to Mary that her son will ascend to the throne of David, and he will be great and be called Son of the Most High. And so it's a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah that this baby who was to come was not just a human, but a king, a coming king. Just to put this in a little bit of context, particularly from Isaiah's perspective, because he describes this king so beautifully. Isaiah was living at a time in Israel where they'd had a series of maniacal, evil, self-centered kings, a long line of them. And it seemed like the nation was getting more and more evil, further and further from God. They neither loved God nor did they serve Him. They were idolaters. They loved greed and power and money, and they oppressed the poor and the downtrodden. And God had had enough. This was a nation that was meant to represent the kingdom of God, and yet they were representing evil. And so God says through His prophets, one of them, Isaiah, judgment is coming. I'm not going to stand for this. And one day, you will no longer be a nation like you are now. I'm going to exile you. Another kingdom is going to come and take you from here. That is the judgment. But in between, there's a message of hope. In between, there's a prophecy of another king that would come. A king not like those kings. A king that would be totally different. A king that was characterized by these traits in Isaiah. He said this king would be a wonderful counselor. That means that he would have the ability to rule with such wisdom, strategically really, and astuteness. He would be an astute ruler. He would be mighty God, it says in Isaiah. That he would have the might and the power of God with him. That he would be the everlasting Father. What does it mean that Jesus would be the everlasting Father? It means he is the image of the Father. He's the one, when you see him, you see the Father. And his kingdom would be characterized by the fact that it would be peaceful. He would be the Prince of Peace. So Jesus is born, and he establishes his kingdom, and then fulfills every single one of those things. He is wise beyond measure. When the people see him, even as a child, they say, who's this guy? He's like 14, and he's telling us about the scriptures. He's wise beyond measure. He's powerful beyond measure. He's raising the dead to life. He's setting the captive free. He's giving people their sight again. He is the image of the Father. Like I said in John 14, he really represents the Father fully. And he's the Prince of Peace, full of compassion and love and bringing peace into the world. And ever since that time, church, this is the hope. This is the hope. Ever since that time that Jesus came and died and was resurrected, the powers of evil and darkness have been broken. The power of sin, the power of pain, suffering, hurt, has been broken over us who believe. It no longer has dominion in the world. And bit by bit, since that time, God's kingdom is taking more and more ground. More and more people are coming to know the Lord. God's kingdom is growing, nation by nation, tongue by tongue, tribe by tribe, people by people, and soul by soul. I love the hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country. In the first stanza, it talks about a loyalty to one's nation. But the second stanza is where it really comes alive and explains this concept of earthly country versus heavenly country. It goes like this, and there's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. We may not see her armies, we may not see her king, but her fortress is a faithful heart, and her pride is suffering. And soul by soul and silently her shining bounds increase, and her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her pride is peace. Isn't that a beautiful poem? Characterized by peace and the growth of the kingdom. And so, folks, the hope is this, that you and I need to know that God's kingdom is expanding. We need to look up. We need to look up. I would exhort you and I, it feels like we're in Isaiah-like times, right? When you look at the rulers of our nation and rulers across the world, it would seem like we're living in a time of corruption and a time of despair. And if you're not careful and you get sucked into the earthly kingdom, it can easily become a weight and a source of anxiety and depression. We need to look up to see what God is doing, because God's kingdom is growing. God's kingdom is working. People are being changed. The destitute are being fed. Lives are being brought to Jesus. You don't have to go very far to see it. If you just go down the road for 15 minutes to Howick, you will know that in Howick, how many of you from Howick? Shout out to Howick there, well done. Two representatives, good on you, well done. In Howick, there's a program called Love Howick. Love Howick is a program which was initiated by a pastor, a call from God. Matt Hogarty is his name. And his call from God was like, actually, we can't leave this like this. As a Christian, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a change. And Love Howick is impacting many, many people, bringing jobs to people, bringing food to people, bringing hope to people, cleaning up the streets, restoring the city. And did you know this? Love Howick is becoming Love Cities. It's now going to spread throughout all of South Africa. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. And you can be a part of it. The other folk in this church who've given their lives, Steve and Jess, have given their lives to the advancement of the kingdom amongst people who would otherwise not know Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. Far away from their own country, they've left to come to a place to be able to spread the good news of the gospel. And you too can be a part of it. Where you're at, you don't need to leave your country. Where you're at, you can make a difference for the kingdom. God's kingdom is growing. How will you respond to that? And so let's close our time together. We have examined this great gift of love, the greatest gift of love there could ever have been, the giving of a son so that you and I could have life and life to the full. And he gives us a way to the Father. He makes a way for us to be with the Father and close to the Father. And he gives us hope to be with him and to be in his kingdom. To be with him and to be in his kingdom. And my challenge to you is, today, how do we respond? Will you respond that if Jesus came down to be with you, will you make time to be with him? Can you make time, 20 minutes in your busy day, just to spend time with the one who loves you? 20 minutes. Can you do that? My other challenge to you is, will you be a part of the new kingdom? It's a challenge for all of us, even Christians, because we can get sucked into the old kingdom and sucked into the old kingdom's ways of selfishness and self-centeredness. Oh, we can be a part of this new kingdom where we receive peace and joy and hope. And if neither of these amazing gifts convince you of how much God loves you, I would like to leave you with these words, and I would like you to just imagine this in your mind's eye. It's an adapted thoughts from Max Lucado. Won't you ponder with me, if you're yet to be convinced of how much God loves you, won't you come with me to a stone-cropped hill outside Jerusalem's walls, where Jesus hangs, cross-nailed and thorn-crowned? If you feel far from the love of God this Christmas, ascend this mount with me. Meditate hard on heaven's love for you, both eyes beaten shut, shoulders whipped raw, skinless to sinew and bone, lips bloody and split, fists of hair yanked from his beard, gasps of air escaping his lungs. As you peer into the crimson face of heaven's only Son, Won't you remember this? God showed his great love for you by sending Christ to die for you while you and I were still sinners. Love came down at Christmas. You are loved. Amen. Amen. Can we pray in response? Why don't you just bow your head, and then we will finish the service with a final song. Lord God, we are in awe of your love. Help us, Lord, I pray, help me to get a grasp, even if it's a bit of a grasp, Lord, all of us, just to understand how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, that love motivated you to come from heaven to be with us. Thank you that you made a way to the Father and that we can enjoy you fully. Thank you that we can now be a part of your kingdom, Lord. I pray that you would motivate us to be peacemakers in the world, just like you were. Help us to serve you and others well. And we thank you, Lord, ultimately for your sacrifice. Love come down at Christmas. We bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.